This is the Atlanta Season 3, Episode 9 review, Rich Wigga, Poor Wigga. Another standalone episode, and I'm getting sick and tired of these. No, not really. I'm not. I lied. I actually enjoy the tension of these standalone and anthology episodes. And this right here, arguably one of the best, with themes such as equal opportunity, collegial scholarships for minorities, biracial identification, passing, gatekeeping, and so much more. I'm Troy McClure. No, I'm not. But yeah, it was all shot within a new, very Hitchcock, Twilight Zone-esque lens, which I thought was amazing. Everything was black and white, but it didn't feel off. It really fit the theme and it wasn't hokey, if that makes sense. Like, you know how you watch, well, I don't know if you do watch Leave It to Beaver or any older show and you're kind of teleported into that time, in that zone, in that feel. They definitely embodied it with this one. It's Friday the 13th, people. Just to remind you, just in case you didn't know. I just love when things come together. But this episode focuses on high school student Aaron, a white passing biracial senior. No, not our AA Ron, Shaq, but shout out to Shaqcast. In the latest episode, 19, that dropped this week, where we discuss video game reviews and a whole lot more, Aaron is seen raging on a game. You see how I brought that full circle? I mean, you're welcome. Just check the description box for details and references. Please and thank you. It starts off with him on the game, playing with two other guys. They're all on VC, of course. It's a shooter. This is what we do. We have the computer. Yeah, you gotta talk. But if you're me, you know, you don't really need to talk. You just shoot people, because that's what it is. Anyway. That's later. We've heard me talk about this before. I'll also include that in the description box as well. We're left to assume who he's playing with are black kids, because the use of nigga, freely, of course, and specifically the endless roasting about how trash he is on the game. And taking a look around his room, pulling us into the environment for a second, he has a Logan Paul comedy tour shirt and a Post Malone poster. With that being said, we have an idea of this kid's mindset within the first couple of seconds of the opening. The Jonah continues, and Aaron just snaps after reading that his girlfriend, Kate, got into college, ASC, only to call them niggas with the hardest ER you have ever heard this year, among other racial epithets. You know, the typical monkeys, bananas, the of it all, the huge. So on a car ride with his father, a news story describes a young black boy that's shot by the cops and later dies at Grady Hospital. His father tries to give him game in the car, not even coming down on him in a aggressive fashion or like an annoying fashion where some parents, you know, they'll give you the lectures and everything. And, you know, I've heard this before, but he just really wasn't having it. Aaron, that is. It's basically whatever his father was saying was just one or out the other. Just straight talk. He wasn't really hearing it because he wasn't getting his way. They begin discussing FAFSA and student loans. His father's not with it at all. But honestly, can you blame him? College is expensive. We all know this. And the price just literally keeps going up every year. Damn near every semester. But you know what? Yeah. Aaron managed to save 4 G's, which is pretty admirable for a high school student. So he's trying, but that's not enough. And that would barely cover housing at a lot of colleges for a semester. His dad says, you know, if he really wants to go, he'll find a way to make it happen. But by no means is he taking out a loan or enrolling in the FAFSA program. He arrives at school. Kate mentions that she has a partial ride, half a scholarship. Aaron lies about his father agreeing to enroll him into FAFSA. Cut to Aaron's friends also receiving word that they got into ASC. And, you know, everybody's all happy and rejoicing. Aaron's basically trying not to show disdain and jealousy for his white peers. They're all called into an impromptu assembly. Cut to, oh boy, Robert Shay Lee, the heir to the pink hair oil empire. Yes, Kevin Samuels. He gives an inspirational speech to facilitate change in the kids. Donates $1 million to the school and announces the renaming from Stonewall Jackson High to Robert S. Lee after him, which kind of hits on the current state of name changes happening all over the country. This one, obviously, pretty on the nose. Robert E. Lee, among other Confederate infrastructure. It's happening slowly, but the change is occurring to different buildings, schools, institutions, hell, even highways. It's pretty deep. So Robert Shaley announces he's paying everybody's tuition. That's black. So these tuition stipends will only go to the black students. I mean, I'm with it. The question is, what percentage does Aaron qualify for? Because his face in that moment is like, I'm torn. I don't know which world I fit into in this moment. And you know, the wheels are turning. So he's considering, you know what it is. You just know. Come on. So the black students celebrate immediately. They go off in the auditorium. And can you blame them? Again, college is expensive. Ain't nobody trying to pay thousands and thousands of, like, come on now. A free ride? That turns it around for a lot of students. So Aaron and his little friends show their disdain for the scholarship exclusivity, and they compare it to blacks in the 50s because, you know, that's the only time that black people were discriminated against as a minority group in America. You know, basically, these are conversations that they tend to have when we're not around or when they think we cannot hear them. Sometimes it's implied in front of us and they think it goes over our head, but it doesn't. It really does. They continue to share war stories of black students being offered equity in different situations, unable to name actual details of these occurrences. Well, I don't remember. Okay, sure. But young, whoever his name is gonna go off to college, be successful, and probably get drafted into the NBA. And he didn't need the money in the first place. You see it? What, how, like the trajectory. We're just gonna leave it at that. They also get annoyed by Black Joy, because again, students are going off with elation. They're happy, they're chilling, they're on the roof, celebrating. But what else is new? Do they have to be so loud? Oh my God. Ooh. They're just hating from afar. Cut to the Soulless Quartet singing Shy. That was special. I'm gonna keep it positive, but shout out to everybody who sung along to provide the groove, just like a choir director should. Aaron attends a Black Card Revoke S exam of African American culture to prove his blackness in order to qualify for the scholarship. So this is how he's gonna do it, guys. Because we weren't sure before what percentage of him would qualify, but they're putting him to a test literally via panel. And shout out to George Wallace, who also was one of the three on the panel. Great comedian. He shows up and tries his best to essentially rack his brain to provide the correct answers. He's given a plethora of different questions and scenarios and riddles. Some of them are, how long can chicken sit on the stove? Your mama or your mother? Take this pencil, make a beat on the table. You know what? I'd even double check and look if it was a mechanical pencil, which hits. And if you know, you know. I'm gonna just leave it at that. Dairy Queen or Popeyes. It goes on, but these are just some of the gems that I wanted to share that stood out. We would get like a little shuck, shuck, and jive montage while he's trying to answer some of these questions. He gets deemed off-white and is dismissed for coasting on his whiteness by the council. Tough break. There's always FUBU. Aaron has had enough. He feels his world crashing down around him. Nothing's going right. He's not getting his way anymore. His father doesn't take him seriously and gives him, again, complete game in the car. Sometimes you don't get the things you know you deserve as a black person. That's just how it is. You got to charge it to the game. His girlfriend, Kate, breaks up with him because he won't be able to go to college anyway with them, let alone afford it. She plans on getting up with DeAndre, who she met at the campus tour. Life is unfair. More on that in a minute because it comes back. I'm telling you, this is like the circular episode. Another moment of the circle. When Aaron returns to burn his school down with a flamethrower. Now, for someone who can't afford school, if only you applied yourself in this fashion, we may not even be here experiencing this, of course. But again, he's coasting. You ain't applying yourself. Remember, the episode began with him playing a shooter that featured a flamethrower. To his surprise, he isn't the only one with this idea. Felix, a first-generation American Nigerian student, also pulls up with the same idea. Now, I don't know how they both just randomly had this idea. I'm assuming this is the effects and cause of a art imitating life and the children blaming the video games for their actions. Gets deep, y'all. Then we get a sprinkle of Eidos Wars. And I am not getting into that mess. Whoever entertains those convos can keep it, because nah, I could go in, but I've done it all my life. I've literally had enough with it and I am tired. No, no, no. Felix calls him Frankie Muniz during the exchange, which is hilarious because it's just like, yo, he does look like Frankie Muniz. Aaron called himself measuring Felix's blackness because being Nigerian, to him, in his eyes, that's not being black because he knows where he comes from. He has an experience. He has culture. Okay, this is probably the only part that I'll speak on and I'm gonna leave it alone at that. Yes, that was really fast. But there is a such thing as Black American culture. That's it. That's all you'll get from me. All right, I'm done. And they proceed to fight over who's gonna burn down the school first. So the chase is on around the school's campus. Flamethrowers everywhere. This actually looked kind of fun. I ain't even gonna lie because, yeah, it looked like a game, but I mean, this was real life. So obviously, yes, whatever. It's scary. Woo. But Felix burns his feet. And Aaron stumbles running back to the front of the campus. Felix gets on the rooftop. He announces this is where black kids eat. Circle back to earlier in the episode where the black kids are on the roof, hanging out during lunch, celebrating their impending scholarships. Only to get shot by the cops. Yeah, we went through this episode. Aaron is placed into the back of a police car, essentially sealing his fate and future. Up until this point, Aaron acknowledges the culture only when it's seen as beneficial to him, i.e. the scholarship, so he can attend college without financial burden and, you know, have fun with his friends at ASC. So a reeling Felix is being carted off by EMTs. However, he's given a qualifying scholarship by Robert Shea Lee, who pulls up on the scene after he gets popped because that's the blackest thing that you could do. Robert pays off the EMTs to ensure that they transfer him to White Grady. Emory Hospital is the White Grady in this instance, the preferred place in the area for better treatment. Again, more themes, medical hesitancy and discrimination. I'm pretty sure we all can agree there's a hospital in your area that you wouldn't be comfortable receiving treatment in. Yep, that one right there, the one you just thought of. This episode caps with Aaron fully stepping into his blackness after being arrested post-firefight. Kate pulls up to his job, not immediately recognizing him as he bags another girl and tries to give her a hookup on an iPad and discount. They catch up a little bit as he brushes his fade, I guess. And he's giving Ashtray from Euphoria all grown up. It's just do a side by side. You'll laugh. So he G's up Kate's head and confirms that he's extremely attracted to her more than ever. And cue the thriller ending and more loose ends hanging on a string. Another moment where you should stop and honestly listen to the lyrics because it just goes perfectly. It just makes sense. And can I just say, creative license given this season is just chef's kiss. I've been calling Emmys all season, but it really just keeps getting better, creepily. Not to everybody, because some people feel like, oh my God. But you know what? Positive. Yeah, we're not even going to acknowledge that. Rest in peace to Kevin Samuels. He actually did his thing this episode. It's extremely surreal seeing this now, but his performance was great. And I could definitely see him in other roles. It's just unfortunate. I can't even front. He fit into this storyline seamlessly. Tyreek Withers, who plays Aaron, he also did a good job portraying that character. It was pretty on point. So we have one more to go. We return to the mains for the final episode next week. You know what? I wish they would just give us like a fake preview. And then instead of giving us the main characters, they do another anthology. Just to throw everybody off. They won't do that. But wishful thinking just to make people like, oh my God, not another one. Ooh.